All right, nice to have you back with us. We go down to San Diego. Boy, I love talking baseball with this guy, and it's Greg Elston. Make the Padres Great Again podcast. Greg, I don't know how you do it, but you came up with maybe one of the best names ever for a baseball podcast. But we love talking ball with you. The Giants are down in L.A. The West, I will say this just as a preamble to getting into our questions. In the National League, we've got all sorts of COVID issues in the East. Certainly the Central, but thank goodness the West has been clean so far. And we actually have an interesting race going on. So let's start with that. The National League West, I think we've got a little race going on.
For sure. And, you know, it's very interesting to see how with this 60-game sprint, there's a very much changed dynamic. I remember the last time I was on with you talking about that, saying in a 60-game season, at that time we might have thought it was a 50-game season, you know, the Giants have a much better chance than they do in a 162. And the same goes for the Tigers, who have been playing well. The Marlins, who are 7-1 with a double-A team for the most part out on the field. And you can kind of go down the list. So in that way, the randomness has been extremely exciting. But specific to the NL West, I think, you know, Gabe Kapler's had the Giants playing at a slightly higher level than maybe people had predicted. But right now, it kind of is looking like Colorado, the Dodgers certainly, and the Padres are three teams that could very, very well be making the playoffs out of the West this year.
Well, when you look at it, I mean, you look at the losses. The Reds have 8 losses. The Pirates, not really a factor. The Brewers have 6 losses. The Cardinals, who knows when they'll ever play again. The Mets have 9 losses. The Nationals have 6 losses. The Phillies are 3-4. They've got a ton of doubleheaders, another one tomorrow. The Braves are 9-5. The Marlins are 7-1. So when you look at first and second place teams plus 2 wild cards, I'll tell you something. I think anybody can get in, and it very likely could be a team that doesn't even play 500.
That's, yes, for sure. A team could get in with 29,
yeah,
maybe 28 wins, but I think 29, 30 wins is definitely a possibility. You know, we were just, in fact, on the last Make the Padres Great Again, talking about this, Marty, how it's such a different season because – maybe we've gotten a little used to the current playoff format where it's so, so important to win your division. And, you know, finishing first in the league is going to come with these massive benefits that, especially in baseball, are so important. But look at it now this year. The number one team is going to play a 3-game series against the number 8 team.
Right.
You know, number 2 will play number 7, number 3 will play number 6, et cetera. So just imagine that you are having the all-time great 60-game sprint and you finish 45-15, you feel like world beaters, and then crawling into the 8th spot are the Nationals. There's Scherzer and there's Strasburg, and you have to be, you know, it's a 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And you could be 1-2 out of there going, whoa, what happened? 45-15, 2-0-2 barbecue, as we used to say in college baseball. You know, yeah, and that's a very real possibility. There should be nothing more terrifying than finishing first this year and knowing that whoever is 8th has a better than puncher's chance of taking you out in the best of 2.
Padres getting a lot of respect. J.P. Hornstra was just on from Southern Cal News Group talking the Padres up big time. Padres are getting a lot of respect. You know, I've talked to you about the little center fielder. I think he's terrific. Tatis is starting to heat up a little bit. But the pitching, the bullpen, when I saw it, the bullpen to me was very much in question other than Pomerantz, to tell you the truth. And now the number 5 starting spot, Luke Casey, has been sent out. So I'm anxious to get your thoughts on the Padres right now.
First things first, if the Padres weren't markedly better in 2020, then A.J. Preller wouldn't be around in 2021 because this is a season that has been pointed to directly since 2016. And the Padres have been making, you know, progressive incremental moves to the point where they said when it's 2020 and they're wearing the brown uniforms, this will be a different team. And so it is. The Padres let's start with that pitching staff. I think there's a lot of encouraging notes now, what, 14 games in with this pitching staff, starting with the fact that when you have Paddock, Lamette, who is throwing 98-99 with an unhittable slider, and Garrett Richards, who's looked very good, that's a 1-2-3 that I think most teams would be very happy to put up as a playoff rotation. You've got a bulldog on the top. You've got a guy with completely devastating stuff second, and you've got a veteran who can really move it, and every ball is curving and moving, you know, in and out third. Now, you mentioned Joey Lucchese, who did definitely struggle out of that four spot. He's now an open turn. The Padres have it till Tuesday, thanks to an off day, to fill that slot. And the question is, which one of the two top prospects in the organization will wind up taking that slot? Will it be Luis Patino, who was just called up last week and threw a couple innings relief? He throws 98-99. Or will it be the much-heralded Mackenzie Gore, who is waiting on the taxi squad and an opportunity to be selected to make his big league debut? I think Padres fans feel like either way they're going to get an upgrade over what they've had in Joey Lucchese with either one of those two young arms. And then don't overlook Zach Davies. He's pitching to an ERA under three, really moving the ball. You know, he's not a big flamethrower, but I think he's a perfect complement. And that bullpen was designed to be good. It got off to a very poor start. You know, Yates got off to a poor start. Pagan got off to a poor start. Look to last night. They went to their victory formula. You know, Stammen went into Pomerantz, into Pagan, into Yates. Everybody threw a clean inning, and that's what the Padres are expecting to see a lot of down the stretch.
All right. Well, you get Merrill Kelly, I think, tonight, and Paddock. Is that the matchup tonight?
Yeah, because they skipped that four spot, so Paddock moves up one more, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. I must tell you, the Padres have caught my attention. Mackenzie Gore, what do you know about him? And what about Hosmer? Is he back? The last time we saw him, he had the stomach issue.
Yeah, so get this. Actually, Hosmer is going to come off the injured list today. There's a few little mini stories to talk about here. First is how he got on the injured list, which was they originally said when they put him on, Marty, gastritis. But in Hosmer's conference call with reporters this morning, he said doctors actually don't know what's wrong with him. They were not able to pin down a specific cause to what gave him horrible, symptoms that he couldn't keep anything down. He couldn't keep anything in would be the clean way to say it on Saturday afternoon radio. So he's been able now to find, he said, some foods that he can keep down. He's got some of his weight back. He had lost 15, 20 pounds.
Wow.
Just in the, yeah. There was a picture of him throwing at USD, and he looked like he had just been on Survivor and made it to the final three. Like, he looked frankly gaunt. But he's back in the lineup today. That's going to allow Jake Cronenworth, who has been an absolute find from the Tampa Bay Rays, part of the Tommy Pham trade, to move over to second base. He's been filling in for Hosmer at a 1,000 OPS and has the versatility to play second, short, the outfield, and even pitch in a pinch. So Cronenworth moves to second, Hosmer slots in, and if Hosmer is doing what he did very early in the season, along with Will Myers, who's been tremendous, you mentioned Grisham, really the only guy who is misfiring at this point is Machado, of all guys. Padres now could have a lineup with some depth that's not the Dodgers, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, well, you sound like maybe the Padres can be great again. I like that.
I do, as a matter of fact. Any three-game series, I do fear that this season's going to produce a random champion. You know, that people are going to be really excited because a couple of 6-7 seeds win in the first round, and then the next thing you know, you wind up with a World Series of 6 seeds against each other, and it's kind of a, wait a second, who won again in 2020? type of situation. But I'm hopeful that's not the case, but I definitely think the Padres are showing everyone in the NL West, they're a team that's going to be around for a while. And you talk about Mackenzie Gore, one of the great young arms in the minors, Tatis, arguably he or Luis Robert, the best young player in the majors right now. the Padres just might be great sooner than we thought.
All right. Now, how's Tingler doing on Twitter the other day? People were all over him, the new manager.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, part of that is because Padres fans, I have to be very honest, they don't know how to handle success. Padres Twitter has only been a thing since basically 2012 or so. And, I mean, the Padres have literally not had a winning season in that time. So there's folks here trying to, you know, stretch out their baby foal legs and learn how to walk in terms of following a contending team. Tingler's done pretty darn good, I think, so far. And the biggest, most important thing by far, Marty, by far, is that he has this team trying to work the count and to work starting pitchers. And if you look, the Padres finished dead last in the league in on-base percentage four seasons in a row, 2015 to 18, and then last year they leaped all the way up to 26. So the Padres have been a team that have not been able to get on base, and this year they've been hovering in the top 10, top 12 in on-base percentage. Grisham has been a huge part of that. Machado works the count, even though he's been terrible. Dierks and Profar has worked the count. And you kind of go down the list, and guys have been doing that. That's Jace Tingler. He's been on that since spring training in Peoria. And that type of mentality, along with getting some guys out of their own heads, like a Will Myers, to just relax and play. To me, I'd give Tingler high grades for his first 14 big league skipper games.
Oh, great. Terrific report. Always a pleasure to talk ball with you. I'm looking forward to doing this again. I think we have the one division. Keep our fingers crossed, thank goodness, that can stay healthy. And it's going to be a good race. It's a good race. Craig, thank you so much as always. I appreciate it.
Take care, Marty. Look forward to talking to you. And I've been signing off the podcast the last couple of weeks saying, make the Padres great again, keep the Padres healthy, keep the Padres healthy. That's the postscript too, yes.
Everybody too. All right, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. This will be fun. Thanks, Craig.
You got it, Marty. Thanks, brother.
All right, very good. Boy, I enjoy getting Padre reports. Yeah, the division, this is something I'm just sort of developing here, figuring out this whole playoff system and what the other divisions look like because of COVID. All right, more coming up. Mark W. Sanchez is down in L.A. We'll get him on. Bruce Jenkins is coming, Adam Copeland. And we've got baseball coming up tonight. Clayton Kershaw, Johnny Cueto, and the Giants need a victory. They do. They need one tonight, and we'll see if they can do something against their arch nemesis, Clayton Kershaw. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.